If you turn with me in your Bible to 1 John, a great book in the New Testament, an important book for the hour in which we live. We're in chapter 1. And first of all, I want to point out the parallels between First John and the Gospel of John. In one sense, First John continues where the Gospel of John ends, just like the Book of Acts takes off and continues. The message of the Gospel of Luke, and similarly, James is a continuation of the book of Matthew, and Peter is a continuation of the Gospel of Mark. And as we look at 1 John, I thought that maybe a title for the book would be direction, instruction, and correction for the saints of God. Direction, instruction, and correction for the saints of God. The atmosphere of 1 John is the historical background is that, sad to say, in the first century, there was a false Christianity that had arisen, and it was very prevalent. It was very persuasive. It attracted large numbers of people, and it was called Gnosticism. And it's in our human mind, it's hard to believe that while the apostles were still alive, there were such false movements that had arisen. Of course, we know right from the very beginning the false movement of Judaism. The false movement of the Judaizers, it would be the right word, had taken place. They were apostate Jews who followed the Apostle Paul wherever he went and tried to undermine his message. They professed themselves to be believers in Christ. And, of course, they added circumcision. They added the law to salvation. And the book of Galatians was written to counter them. And the book of Galatians was mainly mentioned to the Judaizers, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, especially 2nd Corinthians, these were the false apostles who had transformed themselves into the angels of light. But another cult that had risen up that perverted the gospel and attracted a large, large segment was the Gnostics. And much of 1 John is written to correct the presence and the teaching and the doctrine of the Gnostics. And we found that out even this last week as we studied 1 John. One of the cardinal doctrines of the Gnostics was that Jesus was God, but he wasn't really man. He only looked like a man. And his flesh was kind of like a phantom appearance. And they taught, of course, that the flesh was evil. So therefore, Jesus didn't have a flesh. And the first couple verses of 1 John immediately seek to instruct and correct that false teaching when it says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't a phantom appearance. It was real. They actually handled, touched the Lord Jesus Christ. He was real. And of course, as we compare the two books, we think of the ending of, we think of the ending of the Gospel of John, which is in John chapter 20. In verse 31, we have the purpose of the book near the end of the book. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And of course, so it points out the purpose of this book is to show that Jesus truly was the Christ, the Messiah, and that he was the Son of God, and that he paid for man's sin, and that people might believe on him, have eternal life. Now, 1 John chapter 5 ends with a similar statement giving us the purpose of the book. And now that's not disregarding the first part of the book, but 1 John 5 and verse 13, it says, and these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. The John was written so that people might believe. This was written to those who did believe, that you might know that you have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God. And so we find that the purpose here is given at the end of the book, that people might know, and it's more than mental knowledge, it's experiential knowledge of eternal life, and that they know that they have that eternal life. In First John, it introduces Jesus in verse 1 as the Word of life. In the Gospel of John, he is introduced as the Word. But notice it says in verse 4 first of Gospel of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Jesus is introduced as the Word of life. He's introduced as eternal life. Here in John, he's introduced as the one in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And isn't that great? You know, when you get saved, your eyes are opened. You get the light that comes from eternal life. And of course, there's some very clear opposites that are presented, light and darkness, and truth and lies, and et cetera. In John chapter 1, Jesus is presented, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And in 1 John, we find this introduction, and these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. And so John introduces grace and truth, and 1 John speaks of fullness of joy. And we could go many other comparisons here. For John chapter 1, it tells us about the new birth. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It tells us that those who receive Christ are born into the family of God. It takes place at an instant of time, a moment of faith, that when a person receives by faith Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior, who died for their sins, they are born into the family of God. And they are adopted as sons into the family of God. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children. And the word there is my little born ones. John 1 talks about being born into the family of God. 1 John talks about the ones that have been born into the family of God. And that is an important truth. 1 John 3, 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now. It's already taken place. You've been born into the family of God. So we see those great parallels. Now, as we get to 1 John, we got past the introduction, and we find the basis of our fellowship with God is found in a person, Jesus Christ. And you have to have that person. Without that person, you cannot have fellowship with God. In that person is life. In that person is truth. In that person is light. And it's real. And then it tells us, invites people to that fellowship that is found with God through Jesus Christ. That invitation that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. There's an invitation to that fellowship. And it's twofold. It's human, but it's also divine. And then, of course, it tells us the result of fellowship with God. Verse 4, these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. And we find that the Bible tells us that joy is found in being right with God and being in fellowship with God and being fellowship with God's people. That's where joy is found. And, you know, there's going to be joy in heaven because God's going to be there. And the people of God are going to be there. That's true fellowship. Now, we mentioned last week that the problem is many people mix up joy and happiness. Those who are don't have joy, have temporary happiness because happiness is only found in things and in temporary circumstances. But the joy of the believer is above circumstances. You can be poor and have joy. You can be in despair and have joy. You can be in difficulty and trials and have joy. You can be in jail for Christ and have joy, because joy is found in fellowship with God and His people. But we want to emphasize the difference between true fellowship and fake fellowship. True fellowship and fake fellowship. And we know that there is such a thing as fake fellowship. And it says, makes it very clear. It says, verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, can you put it in context? Of historical context, here's all these Gnostics who are not saved. They claim to be saved. And they say they have fellowship with God. And the Apostle John says, They're not walking in the light. They don't have fellowship with God. They're lying. And so we see a dilemma here. We live in that world today too, don't we? We have this great crowd that says they're having fellowship with God. And they claim to be Christians. And yet the question is, are they really having fellowship with God? Are they really having fellowship with God? Is it fellowship with God? Is it some kind of emotional tithy that you're in or some feeling? Is that what fellowship is? And so we're going to start by talking about what is true fellowship. And you have to pardon me because I have to tie my shoe. And I don't want to fall. There's nothing that looks grosser than a guy with his shoelaces untied. Okay, so what is fellowship? It said in verse 2, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The word fellowship is the word we talked about last week, common. Acts 2:44. And they had all things common. Same word, koinonia, fellowship, common. What does that mean? It gives us a very simple definition or concept of fellowship. It means to walk on the same ground as God. Now, it's funny, you know, you have cattle in a field, and they may be all spread out over that field, but when they're going back home for water, you'll see a path. How did that happen? You go through the woods, and you find a path. The deer go on the path. They're walking on the same ground. That's what it is. They have a path in common. They have a place they're going in common. And that's a very important principle, is the idea of common ground. Now, Jesus came to rescue us sinners from going the wrong way. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. That's us. We inherited Adam and Eve's sinful heart. God said no, and they said, yes, I will. And we are born with that heart of rebellion against God. And Jesus came to rescue us from going our own way. He came to rescue us from the path of Satan. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, who in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that worketh in the children of disobedience. That's this world. This world is on a path. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right. They're on the same path, aren't they? Go anywhere in the world. People are on the same path, that path of rebellion against God. And it's shown by so many different things. But that path, Satan is the one who made that pathway. And you know, if you get saved and you get off of that pathway, the world's going to call you weird. Because you're not on that path that everybody else is on anymore. But now that you're off of that path, you want to make sure you walk on God's path. That's why Jesus saved us. He saved us to lift us up from this downgraded world to walk on His path. And the Bible talks about spiritually we're supposed to walk in the heavenlies. That means we're walking fellowship with God on His path. So fellowship is walking on the same path as God. We only get walk on that path if you are saved. And you can only walk on that path as you are obedient to Christ. But you know, when you're walking on that path, now guess what? There's other people on that path. And now you have fellowship with those people. The apostles, he says, and we're writing this that you might have fellowship with us. We're up here with the Lord, walking with God. That's fellowship. Now, that's Bible definition of fellowship. Walking on the same path, all the people that are walking on the same path of obedience to God. Now, notice verse 5 clarifies this, the basis of fellowship with God. The basis of fellowship with God. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him. Oh, who's that? Jesus. What was the message that Jesus gave them? And declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Here we find that the very principle of fellowship with God. And the idea is, first of all, who is God? God is light. He is the perfection of right. He is perfection of purity. He is the perfection of morality. He is the perfection of love. This is God. Walk in light. He is light. And this is a very, wow. To have fellowship with God? Well, who's the criteria? Not me. It's God. It's God. Now, no wonder we live in a day that everybody has their own definition of God. And therefore, because they have their own definition of God, in their mind, they can play this game. Oh, I have fellowship with God. Now notice that that is true. It says, if we say we have fellowship with God. You know, this is increasingly true today. People believe something because they think something. And what they think may be wrong, but they don't care if it's fact or not. They just want to believe what they want to believe. But this counteracts that whole wrong thinking. So notice this whole principle. Okay, let's go to Leviticus 19. The basis of fellowship is who God is and who he reveals himself to be. That's the Bible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God gave us the Word of God. Jesus in John 1, 1 John is called the Word of Life. What a connection. It says, Leviticus 19, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. The Lord your God, I am the Lord your God. And God is holy. Now, if you would read Leviticus, you'll see that who God is the basis of every command given in the Bible. In Leviticus 19, verse 37, And this is the key phrase in Leviticus. You'll find it in this verse. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. Oh, what's he saying? He said the basis of all these statutes, the commands, is why? Is to reveal who God is. And he says, if you are obeying them, then you're walking on my ground. And you can have my blessing. I am the Lord. Now in the New Testament, 1 Peter, what I think is unique about this, is now this is written to New Testament believers, and we see the parallel thinking. 1 Peter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, here's a pretty good picture. As obedient children. Now, you're not walking according to your former thinking and desires. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Of course, that old English word means all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Summarizes the whole Christian life in those simple terms. God's holy. Now, you're my children. You don't walk like you used to walk. You walk in holiness in every area of your life. And so he's saying in the same words, different words, what it's talking about in 1 John. He's saying that real relationship, a real fellowship with God, is, number one, right and wrong is based on who God is. It's not based on some person's opinion. And right and wrong is based on the Bible, because the Bible reveals God. Isn't that sad? Most people, they don't care about what the Bible says. It's something else that it counts. I was talking to this boy at the university, and they were having women preachers in their church, and it used to be a church that didn't have women preachers. And I said to him, well, you know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that the woman's not supposed to be usurp authority over the man, because Adam was first formed and then the woman, and that in the transgression the woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't. And that was the reason there's supposed to be this distinction in roles. And I says, what do you think about that? And you know what he said? He said, oh, I'll let the theologians worry about that. What was he saying? It doesn't matter what the Bible says. We'll find some theologian that can explain it away. That's what he was saying. But so the basis of fellowship is God. Now, thank God, God's merciful. But you know, fellowship with God isn't bringing a holy God down to our level and saying, God, you bless it now. The whole purpose of Christianity is Christ came from heaven to reach wicked men and save them so they can be brought up to have fellowship with the holy God. Much of religion today is trying to take that holy God and make him compromise and make him fit into what man has decided. Now, in the context of this, basis of fellowship is God. Now, notice it says if we if we now notice the words that are associated with that. Verse 5, God is light. Verse 6, we say we have fellowship and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. It's amazing how this emphasis here is on his word is not in us. You know, we are not walking in truth, etc. Now the whole book of John, I'm going to give you a quick rundown here, is a summary of the difference between walking in fellowship with God versus not walking in fellowship with God. Okay? Now, let me give you some examples. In the Gospel of John, it says, and he came into the world, and the world knew him not. Jesus, the creator of the world, and the world knew him not. That's true, isn't it? We live on this earth. You look in the sky. Man, how could you not believe in a creator? You know? We learned at VBS that the elephant trunk has 30,000 muscles in it. 30,000. That's a lot. They just evolved? No. No. You can't even live and look at a blade of grass without realizing that there's a creator that's so big that we can't comprehend him. But the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Oh, that just came out of a big bang. Darkness. But notice in 1 John, it talks about the world again. It says in 1 John 2:15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? It says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, let's put it in simple terms. What's he saying? You aren't having fellowship with God if you're living worldly. God isn't worldly. He doesn't live under the guise of the lust of the flesh. He isn't in this world with the lust of the eyes. That's not God. That's not God's world, is it? It's the devil's world. What's he making? The whole book is about fellowship with God. You can't love the world and the whole system of peer pressure of the world, that's not based on God. You can't have fellowship with God and love the world. Now, there's some Christians that think you can live worldly and you're in fellowship with God. But God says no. Now, chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, that's pretty simple. This book is about having fellowship with God. And here's this Christian that says, you know, I don't need to obey the Bible. You know, that's optional. That's optional. I don't need to obey that. What does the Bible say? It's saying, I'm telling you how you have fellowship with God. To have fellowship with God, we have to walk in his ground. And the attitude that a person can be a good Christian and not obey the Bible is just an option. What are they doing? Deceiving themselves, aren't they? They have, it's fake news, fake fellowship. And you go through the whole book of 1 John, and false doctrine. 1 John 2:21. If we have written unto you because you know the truth, and because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist. There's the context. Gnostics said Jesus didn't become a man. And in fact, they said they were superior Christians because they had knowledge that nobody else had. They had a spirituality. They knew some mysterious stuff. And what does the Bible say? Uh-uh. They're not having fellowship. They say they are, but they aren't. They're not in the walking in the truth. And God isn't a liar. And God is the truth. You know, some people, truth doesn't matter. You know that? Did you know that? Heath knows that. Some people, truth doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to a lot of people, doesn't matter about truth. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. They don't matter what is right doctrine or wrong. They don't really care. And this, what's it saying? Fake fellowship. You know? A drummed up fellowship because it's not based on truth. And we could preach the whole book here. But there are so many things here. And I better not preach the whole book. But I could. We still got time. Okay. So the reality of this fellowship is we're walking on God's ground. And that ground is based on who He is. And He is the man, He is the God who gave the Bible so we could know who He is. Every command in the Bible is based on the holiness of God. Whatever that command is, a commandment given to the Jews for their temple, it was still a command based on God and who He is. So this is a great truth, and you know it applies to today. This is a day of confusion more than. Now it's really confusing to us because this is the only life we ever lived. You know? We never lived a different life. And to us, we have to go through all these battles that the Christians of all ages had to go through. And one of the big battles is the battle of truth and error. You know? We live in a confusing day. Today, you don't know what to believe, do you? Isn't it sad? You know, someone told me yesterday, a couple days ago, that a pastor went to Washington, preached at a Bible camp, came back to church. He had COVID. And four ladies in the church thought, well, you know what? I better go get tested. So they went to the clinic to get tested. And they were standing in line or whatever, waiting. And they said, this is a waste of time. I'm getting out of here. And they went home, never got tested. 2 days later, they get a letter from the clinic. You tested positive for COVID-19. It's all over the country, folks. All over the country. You don't know who to believe. And we have that problem spiritually, too. Now, thank the Lord, spiritually, we got the Bible. Amen? We don't have to be in the dark. We're not God. We don't know everything that's going on. But we got the Bible, and spiritually, we don't have to be hornswoggled by a lot of this religious stuff. But it's also very personal, because the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And our heart would like us to lie, would like to lie to us. You ever experienced that? Your heart, my heart, would like to lie to us. We would like to deceive ourselves. And we would like to, you know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's how real this is. We can deceive ourselves. We can be convinced. And we can be convinced all the way to hell. And that's sad. But we have this problem. But notice, it says, the benefits of, verse 6, if we say they would fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Here's the light. Doesn't matter what we say, this is the truth. And we have to compare our lives to this book. A lot of people don't want to know what's in this book. And they don't want to be bothered with the truth. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to have to change. And we're like that. You and I are both like that. But notice the great blessing of walking with God. But if we walk in the light. Now this is painting a broad picture here. If we are it's the idea of we are walking in the light. We are obeying God's word. We're seeking to find out what the Bible says so that we can walk in light. It's not talking about sinless perfection. There is no such thing. We all are sinners. But it's a picture of walking with God. You know, obeying God. Hearing the Bible. Reading the Bible. Responding to the Bible. Doing what is right. Confessing our sins. We walk in life. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. See, Christian fellowship is based on obedience. Christian fellowship is based on reality. And you know, it is real. You know, I'll give you a story. When I was first saved, I was in interdenominational group. I didn't know any different. And I wasn't in a strong church either. But I was saved, praise the Lord. And I was in this Christian campus group. And the meeting was once a week. And you didn't even hardly go. You probably didn't. Not everyone went every week, but you got to know a few people. And living in the dorm at the university was pretty rotten. My roommate smoked pot. He had acid rock music playing until the wee hours of the morning. He would have his girlfriend in our room when I wasn't there. I mean, it was horrible. He said that the philosopher that he loved the most was Mao Zedong. And he was a radical, radical left winger. And we didn't have anything in common. And you know, the dorm was full of sin. And that's, they had men's dorm back then. And I thought, boy, it'd be great to get out of here. It'd be great to get out of here. I don't want to be in here next year. So the next year, I found three other guys, and we decided we would rent an apartment. And, you know, they all claimed to be saved. And I thought, this is going to be great. Well, all of a sudden, you know, so we get this apartment and et cetera. Well, one day, I come home and there's beer in the refrigerator. I says, what is this doing in there? Well, the Lutheran guy, he had no problem with drinking beer. You know? So now we got beer in the refrigerator. Okay? And the other fella, another fella, he's going to these movies. And where'd you go tonight? I went to this movie. And I said, oh, man. Going to the movies, you know? And you know what? It wasn't real close Christian fellowship. We were all walking on different pathways for sure. Everybody claimed to be saved, but man, I don't know really what was going on. But you know, that wasn't fellowship. We tried, but it was pretty surfacey. Pretty surfacey. And we got along, but it was surfacey. But you know, real fellowship is described here. Walking on the same ground as the Apostle John. A man filled with the Spirit. A man who loved God, obeyed God. That's what it's saying. You know? That's the company that this is all about. And, you know, that's precious. There's nothing sweeter in the world than that. Precious fellowship. And the Bible says that's where the joy of the Lord fills a person's life. You know, this is just a side note, but you know, I love coming to church. I love being around God's people. I love hearing the word of God. This is the people I want to be around. You know, praise the Lord. This is great. You know, there's something wrong when people don't want to be around God's people. Who do you want to be around then? I'm wondering. You know, it's a fellowship problem. But notice this. What a statement. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, when we get saved, we trust Christ, we're saved from the penalty of our sin. Amen? But you know what? In this world that we live, and as sinners, boy, there's so much in our life that we don't even know about that is displeasing to God. You know that? All of us. But there's something happening as we have fellowship with God. So we confess our known sins as we obey the Lord. You know what? The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. The blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. This is continuous action. I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper. It's talking about when we walk with God, the stains and the filth of sin all around us, and even that we've encountered, the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us. We need that, don't we? That's a miracle. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? I can't really tell you that I can explain it the way I ought to explain it up here. But I know the Bible says it. What a wonderful thing to have fellowship with God. And you know, it's such a real thing. You know, it's a real thing. What makes a Christian marriage a Christian marriage? You know what makes a Christian marriage a Christian marriage? When both of those people are having fellowship with God. And they can have fellowship with one another. Man, that's great. That's incomprehensible in one sense of the word. You talk about the greatest marriage on earth. Well, there it is right there with Jesus Christ. You want to have the right kind of friend? I tell you what, the right kind of friend is the friend who's having fellowship with God. That's a real friend. That's a real friend. There's fellowship with God and true fellowship with man, walking on the same ground together. World doesn't know anything about that. They can't comprehend it. And but the Christian understands that. And this whole book deals with this in many details. I trust it will help us. A book of correction, a book of direction, and a book of instruction. And, you know, it all starts when you see yourself as a sinner, turn from your sin, turn to the only one who can forgive you of your sin and give you a new heart, because he rose from the dead, and that's Jesus Christ, died on Calvary's cross. Now starts this life of relationship with God that is real, and that God's will is that it shines more and more unto the perfect day. A closer and closer walk with God as time goes on. You know, there's something wrong that when a person, as the older they get, they become less committed, less sacrificial, less joyful, less obedient. The direction is wrong. Amen? The direction is wrong. This tells us the right direction. It gives us instruction and gives us the correct thinking in this confusing world. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, it is simple, but it is very, very profound. And Lord, it deals with the very depths of the battle, the reality of the Christian life. And Lord, we thank you that you gave us some light in the Scripture. And Lord, I pray that give some light to some young people and to young Christians, that everything that is religious and even so-called Christian isn't necessarily biblical. And it may not even be true spirituality. And Lord, thank you for your word that directs us and gives us solid ground to stand on. And Lord, help us to look in our own lives Lord, sin is always willful. And sin is always something we're responsible for, even though many times we are somewhat ignorant. But Lord, help us even this week be thinking about whose ground we're walking on. And if there's sin in our life that's hindering us from walking on your ground and having sweet fellowship with you, a holy God. And Lord, we pray for any precious soul today that is here, that there's not been that point in life when they received the gift of eternal life and were born into the family of God. Lord, might the truth of your word help them to see that eternal life is not something you get when you die. It's something you get the moment you repent as a sinner and come to Christ and trust all your sin to him and soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.